On this Tuesday, the 5th of November, Melbourne Cup Day, and the favourite for the Melbourne Cup, Fiorente, has had a light gallop at Flemington this morning, ahead of today's $6 million race. It's a picture-perfect day in the city for the six for this race. With some expert guidance now, we're joined by our regular Cup Day panel, racing experts Helen Thomas and Max Presnell. Max Presnell, of course, racing writer with the Sydney Morning Herald. Helen Thomas, author of the book The Horse That Bart Built, About So You Think, and they're together. They are co-hosts of ABC News Radio's The Hoof on the Till. Max, Helen, welcome to breakfast.
Top of the morning to you, Fran.
Happy Melbourne Cup Day, Fran.
Thank you. We're looking forward to it. Max, I saw a headline in one of the papers today that just said, called it the lucky dip that stops the nation. A very wide field in this race. How do punters make sense of this form?
Well, that's difficult, Fran, because where you say form, we've got the hemisphere's form, we've got Australian form, and we've got the European overseas form. And even then, when you say, well, some of these visiting horses, yes, they've got the form in Europe, but will they bring it to Flemington today, particularly with the sun blazing and the track getting very, very hard by cup time? That is just another query. That's just another form, shall we say, conundrum, which you've got to take into consideration.
So many conundrums, Helen. What does the where do you see, or how do we work our way through this lucky dip? And Max mentioned the track hardening up. What difference does that make to which horses?
Well, a lot of, I mean, Max is right, of course. A lot of these horses, most of them, if they come from Europe, are used to racing on dead, if not worse, going. You know, they're not used to the slightly firmer tracks of Australia. And Flemington, officially this morning, is a dead four, which is perfect. I think everyone would say that's perfect with a little bit of moisture overnight with the dew, because it's, I think, a beautiful day here, as you said, Fran, 10 degrees right now, and it's going to get to 24 in a light wind. So you'd imagine it'll dry out a little by then. It will probably be upgraded to a good three, and that will be, you know, probably the best track some of these little horses have put their hooves down on. So, you know, Max is right. If they can adapt to that, it'll be a lovely surface. But whether that they're going to find that a usual surface for their feet, that's a key factor. And, of course, then there's the atmosphere on the day. That's the other thing. As we know, I remember the year Pravda, the mare from New Zealand, just refused to go out on the track. She walked out of the mounting yard and just looked at the crowd and just said, no way, and they had to take her back in. So some horses react even to that. You know, they're not used to 100,000-odd people being so ebullient, shall we say, around them. So there's a lot of things to take into consideration.
A couple of big themes, really, over this race. And the first is the favourite, Gay Waterhouse-trained Fiorente. Gay Waterhouse, she's won many, many cups, but not the Melbourne Cup. Max, some are voicing a little bit of doubt about Fiorente's chances after the tough run in the Cox Plate. Do you like Fiorente?
Oh, yes, yes, Fran. We can all express doubts. There's not a runner in the race that you can't express doubts about, but one line of thought is that Fiorente had too hard a run in the Cox Plate. Another line of thought is that Gay's been too tough on the horse subsequently, worked him too much and sent him to at the beach and swimming him too much. All of these factors. Look, you can throw them all into the mix, but it gets back to the fact that Gay Waterhouse is applying the old-time Tommy Smith bone and muscle to this horse, and that's what he'll need to get the 3,200 metres at Flemington today.
Helen, do you think there's a challenge ahead for Fiorente?
Well, I mean, Max has explained it again. You know, yes, there is always a challenge in this race, 3,200 metres. So many things can, you know, adjust, shall we say, in the running. It's true, you know, he had a really tough run. He was very gallant in defeat in Plate. And, you know, I was talking to a very good judge yesterday who wonders, he believes he's probably going to be perfect, you know, physically, but mentally, I mean, has he been affected by trying to chase down that three-year-old who led all the way in the Cox Plate 2 weeks ago? When you have a horse as competitive, as willing as Fiorente, how does that affect him? Now, you know, we'll know today, but, you know, I agree with Max. I mean, Gay was trained by a master horseman in Tommy Smith, and gee, this horse looks striking.
What about the barrier draw in a long race like this, as it's so important? Because there's been a bit of talk about the Luca Comani-trained Mount Athos. It didn't perform as he hoped last time. Back again, the trainer's very confident about it, but he's eased in the betting after he drew barrier 20. Does that make so much difference in a long race like this, Helen and Max?
Well, it does. Let Max explain it, because he's seen more than me.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, it can, Fran. It's a matter of how the navigator, or the jockey, as we call it, how he handles it. But look, as soon as you say a horse can't win from that gate, they'll settle down after going a furlong, and they'll be one off the fence getting a perfect trail. It's all that wonderful mix over the, and particularly coming down the straight the first time, which presents such spectacular theatre, where the jockeys get to, how they get there. But of course, if you see a horse drawn out in 22, as Mount Athos is, you say, well, it's going to take Craig Williams plenty of navigational prowess to get him, get cover, get where he wants to be. But look, he's pretty good at that. I wouldn't say it enhances Mount Athos's chances, but certainly with Williams on board, I think you've got to go into the race reasonably confident that he will get the right run.
What about... Ellen, go on.
No, I was just going to say, Craig Williams is renowned as being a fantastic form student as well as a brilliant rider, and I believe he spent a lot of time over the last couple of weeks getting to know this horse at the International Equine Centre out at Werribee. So that's another factor. You have to know the horse you're riding, not just his form, and it's one thing watching all the videotapes that these, you know, jockeys do now. They can see, you know, watch over and over again the horses running wherever they are in the world, but it's actually knowing the horse, I think, before you go into a race like this, and I believe Craig will have done that.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 12 past 8. Our Melbourne Cup panel of experts, Helen Thomas and Max Presnell, with you on race day, on Cup Day. One extraordinary thing about this field this year is that one stable, one owner, Lloyd Williams, owns a quarter of the field, six horses in the Melbourne Cup. Now, Max, there's been a bit of comment about this. One of the foreign invaders suggests that gives him an unfair advantage. He can use his horses to run as a sort of a stable and slow down the race and advantage his horses. What do you think about this? It's pretty unusual.
It is unusual. Certainly, I can't recall a stable having six runners. I know George Hanlon, going back about 30 years ago, might have had four. But now look, Williams, he's a maestro. He's prepared these horses, or been the, look, he's not the trainer, he's the owner, but call him the managing, whatever you will. He's pulling the reins. Now, he's not going to go out there and have these horses battling against each other. I would say that Lloyd Williams will have a set plan for them. Mm. He will give that plan to the individual jockeys and say, well, this is where I'd like you to be. Bang, bang, bang. I want you here, you there, so-and-so, so-and-so. I'd like to see you on the pace. He said they'll all be forward, but when the gates open, no doubt it's up to the jockeys. Now, what is important in this race, as in any race, Fran, is tempo. They've got to go along at a reasonable speed. Now, Lloyd Williams has got a few there that will be suited by a stern tempo. Now, whether he sends Moran out in front to lead to give them that tempo, well, that's the question.
But or whether he uses someone else to slow them down, to disadvantage them.
Well, no, let's say Moran goes to the front. Then he'll set a tempo. He can slow them down or speed it up. In Europe, they have pacemakers. They'll have a stable mate who'll go along
exactly,
like a bat out of hell, and make it a true staying test. Now, we don't believe in that here. We've said, well, you can go to the lead by all means, but not really to jeopardise that horse's prospects. I think that would be the extent of the Williams involvement in the actual running of the race. But look, as soon as you make a plan to run a horse race, something will happen, something will get left at the barrier, something will take off, and it's all thrown out the door. That's where you've got to have the navigator.
Okay, well, importantly, I mean, Helen, whether you think it's good or bad that one stable has so many of the runners, who do you rate as the best of the Williams runners?
Well, you know, he's got last year's Melbourne Cup runner in Green Moon. Then he's got another horse called Sea Moon, who many believe when he arrived in Australia several months ago was the best, or one of the best stayers in the world. Then he's got the Caulfield Cup winner, his only homebred horse, Faulkner. And I think he leans to Faulkner. I think his heart, you know, in his heart he's hoping Faulkner can win the Caulfield of Fame, Caulfield Cup, Melbourne Cup double. And then, you know, there are the two horses from Europe, Mars Marvel and Seville, that he's had for a year or 18 months now. And I really like Seville. I think he's he's had a really strong campaign. I think he, on paper, looks the horse likely to, you know, get this distance, being by great staying sire Galileo. And he's going to be ridden, Fran, by Hugh Bowman, who, of course, won the Derby on Saturday, the Victoria Derby on Polanski. But just getting back to the pace, I mean, yes, Lloyd Williams has, you know, these six runners, but as Max said, anything, you know, things happen at the start of the race. I mean, who can forget a couple of years ago in Glass Harmonium, you know, the grey horse that used to get out the front and lead the field along. He was last. He sort of sat back in the stalls and came out last, which really upset the running of the race. And I think one of Bart Cummins' horses in the end, Illo, went to the front in a very uncharacteristic, you know, front running position. So Gay Waterhouse has a couple of horses in this race, and one of them, you know, could go to the front, Trey Blue. And then there's Rochella, who snuck in by winning the Lexus, and he's going to be ridden by Chad Schofield, who won the Cox Plate 2 weeks ago by riding Seamus Award out the front, you know, to win. So he's got a very light weight, and he's in barrier 24, so it'll be interesting to see what he does, if he presses forward or not.
So many chances, so many conundrums, as we started off saying. Helen, fancied runners, Mount Athos, Seville, you mentioned, Dear to Me, Sea Moon, Green Moon, then Verima is being talked about. You're liberated but burdened at the same time this year without a Bart Cummings horse. You love to back Bart.
Well, everybody loves to back Bart. And, you know, I think even Max would agree this year that, you know, Precedence, his great warrior, who to run in three Melbourne Cups, was a bit unlucky not to get in. He finished in as 25th horse in order of entry for this race. And so many people, I think, right around the country were hoping that Bart would have had a runner this year. It would have been his 88th starter in the event, and it would have been his grandson, who, of course, he's training in partnership with now, his first runner in the event. But not to be. Precedence will line up on Saturday, though, in the Queen Elizabeth Stakes. But yeah, so it is, I suppose, liberating, but it is burdening at the same time.
Okay, so tip time, who do you like, Helen?
Well, at least you didn't say
I'm going to restrict you to one, two. I am going to restrict you to one, two, and three.
Oh, no, come on. I thought I was doing well to get down to six. But look, I keep coming back to these three. Seville, Fiorente, and Dear Demi, but I think if you're looking for some roughies, and they are roughies because the field is so big and so wide this year, Super Cool, Mark Cavanagh's horse, Faulkner, who's, I think, about $18 this morning. And you know what? One of the rank outsiders is Ethiopia, of course, very fancied last year. I think we might have tipped him last year, Fran. Got injured in the race, got pulled out of the race, ran a very good race, the best run he's had since that unlucky run last year. On Saturday in the McKinnon running fourth, very good sectional times. He's nearly 80-1 this morning. So, you know, fingers crossed he can go a little bit better than last year this year.
I can't help but mention that six horses. Helen, thank you. Max, who do you like?
My top four are Fran, six Fiorente with some confidence, four Sea Moon, 18 Hawkesbury, Jim Cassidy and Chris Waller, and 10 Faulkner. But an incident you must know about. I've watched 36 Melbourne Cups straight. I've watched 39 in all. And before any of those Melbourne Cups, I've never had a dream regarding a race. Last night, I had a very vivid dream, and Dear Demi was the subject of it. Now, I haven't tipped her in my top four, but she's pressing on my sort of nerve cell in my brain. Dear Demi. So, look, if you can dream the winner of a Melbourne Cup, perhaps Dear Demi is the one. But certainly, my money is going on Fiorente.
Max, do me a favour. Put at least a dollar on Dear Demi, will you, after that? I will.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
I will on the
strength
of
that. John Singleton and Fiorente trained by Gay Waterhouse. Imagine if they're going head-to-head down the straight. Another great tussle.
The racing wars. Helen Thomas, Max Presnell, thank you so much for joining us and good luck at the track.
It's been my pleasure.
Thanks, Fran.
Helen Thomas and Max Presnell. Together they are hosts of ABC News Radio's The Hoof on the Till. Max Presnell is the Sydney Morning Herald racing writer and Helen Thomas, author of The Horse That Bart Built. And we'll put their tips up on our website for you if you want to chance your arm. You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 8:19.